We heard two Neapolitan songs sung by Jerry Hadley with a group of musicians. That last one was Marachiare, and before that, Torna a Sorrento, both famous songs from Naples and from a whole tradition that usually just called Neapolitan songs or Neapolitan art songs. Both of those songs will be on the program this Sunday with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, Lonnie Klein conducting, and the soloist will be Las Cruces native son, Alex Richardson. Welcome back to KRWG, Alex Richardson.
Great to be here.
It's really nice to have you back, and nice for such a delightful program with the symphony to do songs from Naples. Let's talk about, there's a lot to actually talk about, these very popular light songs that that all originate in Naples, and what one thing people may not realize, written in what is sometimes called the Neapolitan language, sometimes the Neapolitan dialect. Tell us a little bit about the language that's used in these songs and how it differs from what you would hear in an Italian opera.
Well, it's very, very interesting. It really is a different language. It could be considered a dialect. An Italian would probably understand a lot of these words. Take the king of Neapolitan songs, O Sole Mio, and the words for that are Che bella cosa in una giornata sole, and which is in Neapolitan, which means what a beautiful thing is a sunny day, and so simple differences between the two languages would, Che bella cosa would be exactly the same in both languages. In una giornata sole would be in Neapolitan, and in Italian it would be e una giornata sole. So the word giornata is turned into giornato. Subtle differences, but I think spoken quickly becomes a very different thing.
So, as a singer who had to study diction for Italian and German and French and maybe Russian and other languages, do you have to actually study the diction or the accent for Neapolitan songs?
Well, I did study a lot of Italian. The majority of my repertoire is operatic. So I can't think of any... Actually, I can think of a Neapolitan thing that is in opera, and that's in Cavalleria Rusticana. I'm sorry, that's Sicilian. That is a different dialect, believe it or not.
Okay.
That is something different. But most of it is in Italian. But Neapolitan is really its own thing, I have had to study, and I even had the opportunity to meet with somebody from Naples to go through some of this text one time when I was doing the Stravinsky Pulcinella. Which is their old Neapolitan songs and old Neapolitan texts. And same thing, I had to get some coaching on how exactly to do this, where some consonants may be vocalized, some not, difference between a S and a Z sound, in mm-hmm. So you do need to kind of get some coaching on it to make sure you're not really screwing it up.
Right, because there could be somebody from Naples in the audience.
Exactly.
All right, so you're going to be singing the two songs we heard and a bunch of other Neapolitan songs. This is a tradition. Well, I read two different histories, actually. One that said it dates from the 1830s, but the festival that became a kind of annual song competition in Naples dates much earlier. There was apparently a festival that took place every year, and one year in middle of the 1830s, Donizetti premiered a song, famous opera composer. And everybody loved it, and it was sung all night. And then it became this tradition to have a new song every year. And I guess that's where a lot of these songs came from. And what I also read, tell me if I'm wrong, Caruso helped popularize them by bringing them to the United States, but maybe the immigrants did too. What do you know about these songs?
I don't know those stories, but okay. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, because these songs are very, very, very popular, both today, and in the past, and just totally part of the culture. You know, a song like O Sole Mio is just, you know, pervasive in our society even,
right.
You know, in our American culture as well as the Italian culture. And a lot of these songs are just super, super famous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, there were a lot of Italian immigrants coming into New
exactly.
York in the early 20th century, so they would have been bringing them along with them. And yes, I remember, as I was just telling Alex before we went on the air, this well, the first song we played, Torna a Sorrento, I had it in a little music box as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Super famous songs and just so beloved and so, I don't know what it is about them. They're romantic. You feel like you're in sunny Italy. It's,
yeah.
You hear them. You smell the pasta mm-hmm. sauce.
Well, and the subject matter of the texts are often you know talk about the sun or it starts out by saying the moon is shining and. So they love their sunshine. They love their subjects of romance, and they love their their areas. You know, Mare Chiare is about a specific little area just near Naples. You know, and Torna Sorrento is about another specific little area right near Naples. Torna Sorrento was a song that was the text was written by somebody who didn't want to. Forget and so it's you know the text says you know look at the Sea of Sorrento. Have you ever seen anything like this? People that travel the whole world are never going to see what treasures are at the bottom of this beautiful ocean.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
so they love their country and they are happy to write about it.
Yeah, and we just think of Italy from south all the way up to the north as a singing country. You know, we
yeah.
just had these songs from Venice as well. So yes, they loved and they sang about it. For you as a singer who's mostly singing opera these days, and I want to hear, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, just what does the singer do that's different? If you're singing songs like this with an orchestra on the stage, it's just you, there's no scenery, but you're telling a story.
Absolutely.
With each song,
yep.
whether we understand the words or not. But Is it very different from singing in an opera, or is it really not?
I wouldn't say so at all. Doing a set of eight songs is a little bit of a got to be careful technically. To do eight long and big pieces all in a row. So that
yeah.
that's kind of operatic in itself. You know,
that's
just
true.
Just having the stamina to get through those eight songs. But you know, technically, it's really not all that different. The orchestra will be behind me in this scenario, whereas a lot of the time in an opera, you know, you've got a lot of space to move around the stage, and the orchestra is in the pit, and so that's a little bit different. But otherwise, the way you sing these things is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Except that, in a sense, you're switching characters with each song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you're exactly right. They are, you still have a story to tell with each one. Each one is poetry
yeah.
And has its own story. And you know, the text, the text informs how you, phrase phrase the lines and the inflection that you would get to certain notes, things like that. So the text is very, very important. You know, these songs, the melodies could be written, but they wouldn't be anything without the text.
Yeah, yeah, they go hand in hand. So, Alex, you've been since I last interviewed you, which I looked it up, is about 10 years ago. You've done a lot in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You've sung a lot of operas in
yeah.
many parts of the world. You've had your Met debut
yeah.
a couple of years ago, and congratulations. I think, did I see you've done it twice now? You were an understudy. You were a cover for.
Yeah, this will be this year. I have a contract for this spring, working on the Ring Cycle. I'm going to be covering in Das Rheingold, this season will be my fourth season at the Met.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What's that like?
Well, it's tremendous. I mean, it's an unbelievable place to work. To see all of these artists that are working at the absolute highest level, and I wouldn't say not just, you know, the singers and the orchestra, but also, the the costume department and the carpenters and the set designers and the lighting designers and the stagehands, and you know, that building runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, they've got a morning crew and evening crew, and they've got people working overnight there. And you know, it just takes a tremendous amount of high organization in order to produce 30 something productions in a single season, and have them all, you know, many of them running in repertoire at the same time. And you know, they may be rehearsing four different pieces while another, you know, two or three are being performed on the stage at night. And it's just mind-boggling. And I love going to work there.
I can imagine that it would be very exciting. I read earlier something I didn't know, or if I knew, I forgot. You were a state champion diver.
Yes,
when
that's
you
true.
Were at Las Cruces High School.
That is
and
true.
So when you talk about stamina, you the stamina to sing a half an hour worth of or 40 minutes worth of art songs or an opera lead role, that takes a lot of stamina. Since you come from Las Cruces, give us a story or two about your athletic training and how that turned into musical training.
Well, it prepared me in a surprising way as I look back on it. In terms of stamina, you know, it was an individual sport, and so you know, when I would get up to do a dive, you know, it is a fast burst of energy, and then it's finished. You know, so in that way, you know, singing and keeping stamina is quite a different thing from doing a single dive, and then you know, getting 5-10 minutes to rest, and then doing a different dive. You know, things like that. Of course, you know, when we would practice, it was always right over here on the campus of NMSU. And so we would practice for several hours, you know, so. But you know what I think prepared me for a career in music is that the idea that your success is based basically on somebody's personal opinion of how you do. And that's an interesting thing to think about. You know, in other sports, you know, in track, whoever crosses that finish line is the winner. But, you know, in something, in an individual sport like diving or figure skating or, you know, things like that, or gymnastics, where the judge's opinion of how you do colors, you know, may color how they score you. And that turns out to be the case in singing too, because you know, a lot of people have specific tastes in style or in a color of someone's voice, aspects like that you know, that may dictate where your career goes.
Yeah, that's so interesting that's so true on form, on style, and on all sorts of things that we don't think of as necessarily athletic qualities, and yet, of course, they are.
Yeah.
And then they are in music. Alex Richardson is performing this Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra, as we've been talking about these Neapolitan songs. And did you know all, are these all songs that you would have studied years ago in your training?
Many of them are. Yeah, they're very, very popular songs. You know, especially on the program are four songs of Francesco Paolo Tosti, and you know, that's like one of the first things that that a singer will study is these beautiful Italian songs. So yeah, a couple of these songs I have been singing, you know, for like over 20 years,
and I bet they're fun every time.
Oh, every single time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm sorry we didn't start earlier, because there's more that we could talk about, but we'll do that for next time. Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 3, Neapolitan Art Songs. Also on the program is the Sleeping Beauty of Tchaikovsky and a few holiday favorites as well. Lonnie Klein will be conducting the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much, Alex Richardson, for joining us again.
It is my great pleasure.
Thank
you.
Great to see you and great to have you back here in Las Cruces and on a Las Cruces stage.